This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to look back on Joe Biden. We're going to talk to a member of Congress about what exactly is happening out there. Democrats have chosen the worst hill in the world to die on. We'll talk about why. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. We spent a lot of time talking about the news of the day, the scandal of the day, and looking forward. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that you're wrong for that or that I'm wrong for that. It's normal. We wake up. What do we want to know? We grab our phones. We look. What's the news? What's happening? The world, the local. It's important. But what's also important for all of us is to look back from time to time, because that's where all the lessons are. But me personally, in your personal life, for me personally, I look back on all my screw-ups in life. Not that I've stopped screwing up in life, but I look back and I think about it. Not to beat myself up, because that's where I learned. That's where I grew. We have to discuss the Joe Biden presidency really quickly. Not because we just feel like feeling bad, but because it explains where we are and it explains the people in our midst. And that's really what we're going to have this talk about, you see. The evil people who spent so much time abusing us, especially over the last few years, they're all still there. And most of these people, the politicians, the media people, they're exactly where they always were. They may have changed their tune. They may have come around to our side, at least they've claimed, but the evil people who have abused you without end for the past few years are all still evil, and they're all still in the exact same position where they began. So let's talk about Joe Biden. Because what Joe Biden did to this country, look, there's a chance, if I have to be honest with you, I know it's a little dark, there's a chance we won't be able to recover from it. We don't have to look further than immigration, honestly. The Trump administration's currently pulling their hair out every single day, having to justify this, a judge blocks that. We're talking about small deportation numbers here. We're talking about a plane full of 200 people, and the Trump administration is jumping through hoops every day to try to justify sending them home. We have about 19 million plus to go. And why do we have so many? Because Joe Biden got elected president, or selected president, depending on who you talk to. They installed Joe Biden as president of the United States of America. And this mean old dementia-riddled jerk wasn't strong enough and didn't care enough to hold back the most evil elements of his party. And so the communists around him, the Susan Rices, the Lisa Monacos, Victoria Nuland, these people, they did what evil communists do. They opened up the borders of this country and they brought in as many murderers and rapists as they possibly could to try to burn down the country. And now, here we are. We have a Trump presidency, and I'm glad he's there. By the grace of God, he's there, but he's not going to be able to deport 20 million people. We may never recover from Joe Biden being president. There are forks in the road you can get to in your personal life where you can't ever go back. There are forks in the road as a country where you get to them and you may never be able to go back. I remember, like it was yesterday, you've heard me talk about this before because I will never forget it. I remember when the President of the United States of America stood up in front of the entire country and on camera told us he was losing patience with us.
Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
Now, This is not about vaccination, which is, of course, what he was talking about there. This is about the office of the presidency. I'm going to ask you something. In the history, the entire history of the United States of America, we're almost 250 years old, and the entire history of this country, can you name for me one other time in this country's history where the United States president said something like that to the American people? Just talking down to them, really, honestly, threatening them? Our patience is wearing thin? I'll tell you, I'm not the world's foremost expert on history or American history, but I know a bit about a bit. I can't think of a single other example, Republican or Democrat, in the history of this country, of the American president scolding the American people with a veiled threat in that way. Joe Biden, it was a fork in the road. Which brings us, of course, to the other part of Joe Biden's presidency that will loom large in everyone's minds for really ever. I'll tell my grandkids about it one day. My kids will tell their kids about it, which obviously are still my grandkids about it, about the fact that we elected or selected a man who was not a fully functional adult. And for 4 years, we had to endure in front of the entire planet. Remember, the American president, whether you love him or hate him, when he speaks, the world listens, and the world will, they'll judge us based on him. For 4 years, we had to endure this.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
The beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lake.
And I had a nurse named Pearl Nelson, military. She'd come in and do things that I don't think you learn in medical school, nursing school. She'd whisper in my ear. I couldn't understand them. She'd whisper, she'd lean down. He'd actually breathe on me to make sure that there was a connection, a human connection.
End of quote. Repeat the line.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Those were a small sample. But it's not just that the president of the United States of America was not a functional adult. It's that person after person after person after person, without a care in the world for their country, told us that he was doing great.
First one, I talk to President Biden, you know, regularly, sometimes several times in a week, or usually several times in a week. His mental acuity is great. All this right-wing propaganda that his mental acuity is declined is wrong. He's going to win the election because he has a great record.
And I'm telling you, this guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game. And as Secretary Mayorkas said a minute ago, when you go in to brief the president, you better have your big boy pants on. And this kind of sense that he's not ready for this job is just a bucket of BS that's so deep, your boots will get stuck in.
Not only is he fit to do the job, he's doing a hell of a damn job, right? If he was weak, he wouldn't have been able to rally our allies to support Ukraine against Putin's aggression. Right, he wouldn't have driven the economy to such great success.
He's absolutely 100% with it.
President Biden was nice enough to call me, and I can tell you, this was the day before that interview. I can tell you, he was sharper than anyone I've spoken to.
And of course, that last loser there was being interviewed by none other than Jake Tapper, and that's actually the point in this whole thing. Jake Tapper and his ilk. Jake Tapper presents himself constantly as a reporter, a journalist, of course. And Jake Tapper, speaking truth to power, spent 4 years telling us this.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it.
He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
False claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but
I don't understand the outrage.
4 years, Jake Tapper ran cover for Joe Biden because Jake Tapper's a Democrat, Joe Biden's a Democrat, and the United States of America didn't matter. And now Jake Tapper wrote a book talking about Joe Biden's decline. For 4 years, they covered as a president of the United States of America drooled on himself, and now they're making a fortune selling you a book about the entire thing. You see what I mean about all the people, the evil people who've abused us, being right where they've always been? They haven't moved on. Most of them haven't been fired. By the way, Jake Tapper isn't alone. There are currently 4 books being written about Joe Biden and his decline. Books being written by people who never uttered a single word for 4 years while the United States of America was led by a dementia patient. One of them, author at The Hill, Amy Parnes, well, said this.
Do you believe that Democrats hid that Biden wasn't up to running again?
I think every Democrat has a story, and we talk about some of that in here, where they saw President Biden not in the best terms. We detail, for instance, Congressman Swalwell, who was there looking at him. They came face to face at a congressional picnic, and the congressman had to cue Biden as to who he was. This is someone who ran against him in 2020. He's very vocal. He's out there. Someone like President Biden, in you know, Biden's heydays, he would know who he was. He didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we have other details in the book about a makeup artist coming in on his international trips to kind of prep him before meetings with foreign leaders. We have all of these details in the book. It's a really fascinating read.
Very, very fascinating. I can't wait to go out and pay my hard-earned money to pick up a book by a reporter who couldn't be bothered to do the reporting when it mattered. But now that it doesn't matter anymore, now that it doesn't cost Democrats at all, now, of course, we need to fill up her bank account. This is a reminder, not about Joe Biden. This is a reminder that the evil people who have abused us without end, almost all of them remain exactly where they have been. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Let's talk about Pure Talk. And actually, that leads me perfectly to Pure Talk. Because now that Trump's in office, so many businesses are America first, and I love America. America here. We're going to build a factory in America. American jobs. Oh, everyone's coming around to being pro-America now. Pure Talk was pro-America before it was popular. When Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile were crapping all over this country, every chance they got, Pure Talk was there hiring Americans. When Pure Talk gives back, and they do, they give back to veterans. My phone bill is half of what I was paying at T-Mobile, and my phone company loves the country as much as I do. Pure Talk's CEO did 2 tours in Vietnam for this country. If you like switching, it's easy. Keep your phone, keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Some of our colleagues have been railing against Judge Boasberg for ordering the planes to be turned around. They say those planes were filled with terrorists, I think my good friend from Texas said. Well, here's one person of many who wasn't a terrorist on that flight or a gangbanger. His name's Kilmer Garcia. He's a Marylander married to a U.S. citizen who has a 5-year-old son with autism. And he went to pick up his son, but he was picked up first by ICE. And then he was shackled and put on that airplane and shipped off to the torturers of El Salvador. I call on my colleagues right now to call off the campaign to impeach federal judges for doing their jobs. I call on them to demand that the Trump administration comply with all judicial orders while appealing whichever ones they want to appeal, and to demand the return of people unlawfully taken to El Salvador on that so-called plane full of gangbangers.
Look, as an American patriot, it makes me sick that one of the two political parties and half of the other one wants a bunch of rapists and murderers in the country. But the partisan in me thinks this is absolutely wonderful. The Democrats are going to campaign on keeping MS-13 gang members in the country. Joining me now, one of the great congresswomen we have, Harriet Hageman from the great state of Wyoming. Harriet, I think this is wonderful. Politically, obviously it's terrible for the country and I want to cry, but politically this is fantastic. This is who these people are sticking up for.
Hi, Jesse, and I agree with you. I just am stunned that this is where we are in this country. Historically, judges have always deferred to the president of the executive branch when it comes to national security and foreign policy. And yet here we have a situation where a federal district court judge here in the Washington, D.C. area is making making such decisions without all of the information. It's clear when you read the act that the president is relying upon that he has the authority to do this. Yet you have a judge, again, second guessing those decisions in a way that is really usurping not only the president's authority, but the authority of every other district court judge in the United States, every appellate court judge in the United States, and essentially the Supreme Court. So it's a bizarre situation that we're living in. It's a bizarre time, but we are just going to have to fight through this and make sure that we can restore constitutional and regular order.
Harriet, you were not on the Supreme Court, sadly. I actually wish you were. But you were not on the Supreme Court, so you don't have the authority to make them do things. But why won't they do things? Like, this seems like such an obvious thing. We can't have lower court judges assuming the office of the presidency and stopping everything he's doing. You can't even have a country that way. Where's SCOTUS?
I actually wish that they would step forward and address this situation, and I think that they absolutely could do that. Nationwide injunctions are a rarity for a reason. The under Article 3 of the Constitution, under Article 1 of the Constitution, Congress has the authority to create such lower courts as are necessary. The only one that is mentioned in the Constitution is, in fact, the Supreme Court. So the 600-plus district court judges are actually created, and we created this system through the congressional process. But what is happening is that this judge in D.C. is dictating policy for Texas and Louisiana and California and Montana and Wyoming, and that's not the way the court system was set up. It was set up so that the district court judges address the discrete issues in front of them related to the individual parties that are in front of them. So this judge is not only far exceeding his authority, but you look at what he's doing in terms of stepping into international policy, international relationships, national security issues, and just across the board, it is such an incredible abuse of discretion.
Period. Where's the best place to eat on Capitol Hill? I've been back there so many times, and I always hate it. And the food is dreadful. It's just, for that many people and that much money, I mean, all they do is swindle our money. They can't invest in any kind of decent restaurants.
I don't know if I can answer the question about the best place to eat. I like to cook, so I tend to go home and cook at night.
I bet it's delicious. Okay, you were, this whole hearing we just watched was part of a judicial overreach hearing. What else did you learn today?
So, Jesse, one of the other things that I think is really important for people to understand is that these judges who are issuing these injunctions, whether they are nationwide injunctions or they are limiting them to the folks to the parties in front of them, under Rule 65, it is mandatory that the plaintiff seeking an injunction must post a bond that will cover the costs associated with issuing that injunction if it is later found that it was improperly issued. So when you talk about leaving, say, for example, you just saw a judge in California issued an injunction saying that they could not remove the temporary status of people who are here from Venezuela. Just the housing costs associated with that could be in millions of dollars. And yet you have a district court judge, when he issued that order, he never required any bonding. And I'm getting very frustrated with the fact that the people who are doing this, that are seeking these nationwide or even local injunctions, they are not complying with the rules. The judges are not complying with the rules. And I also think what is significant about that is if they actually did have to post a bond, they would most likely limit these injunctions to their specific districts so that they weren't in the tens of millions of dollars with the impact that would be felt nationwide. So one of the other things that we learned in this hearing is that Boasberg, when he issued this injunction, he probably violated the rules and the laws related to habeas corpus. He violated the issues associated with only deciding cases that are within his jurisdiction, meaning the parties in front of him who have standing to come into his court. There's also a question, as I've said, he didn't require any kind of a bond. There's also a question as to how he actually certified the class, turning this into a class action in less than 6 hours after the complaint was filed. So if you go down the line of everything that he was supposed to do, he's done an absolutely terrible job in terms of addressing the question in front of him. And so for that reason, you have to understand, I believe you can only come to one conclusion, and that conclusion is it was a political decision.
Well, you seem like such an upstanding guy. I'm just shocked. Congresswoman, thank you. Appreciate you very much. Please keep it up.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Now, it's not just the United States of America that has a mess on its hands. What happened in France? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about America, 1776. In fact, let's talk about getting a 17.76% discount at Chalk for their natural herbal supplements. You see, I've told you forever about Chalk. I love them. I personally wake up every day. My wife makes us a smoothie with chocolate powder in it. I take a male vitality stack every single day. I've taken it for 3 years. I feel like a different person. I feel way better than I felt 10 years ago. You realize that? I get email after email after email, and what most of them reference is the energy. You just feel good instead of running out of gas, tired all the time. And I've never seen a discount like this before at Chalk. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV, and it gets you a 17.76% discount. Try it. Just try it for a couple months. You will love yourself for it. We'll be back. Well, I haven't followed French politics in, well, forever. I don't care about French politics, but French politics actually do matter a lot because they're an important part of Western civilization. So when this important part of Western civilization takes the current leader in the political polls and throws her in prison, it's kind of a big deal. Joining me now, the big shot at climatedepot.com, Mark Morano joins us to discuss that and other things. Okay, Mark, what happened in France?
Actually, what happened in France is happened in Brazil and almost happened in the United States. It's a very simple concept. Populist nationalist leaders who go against the uniparty establishment, the deep state, like to get all kinds of charges put up against them and threatened with jail and not being able to run again. The exact same thing happened to Bolsonaro in Brazil, where he's now trying to make it illegal for him to run again, saying he essentially did an insurrection against the government. In the case of France with Marine Le Pen, they're not saying insurrection. They're saying it was graft and corruption, and therefore she's disqualified from running. Well, what a shame. She was just about to take on the entire establishment. All the polling had her winning the next French election. If you look at her platform, it's the mirror image of MAGA in the United States. Everything from economic nationalism to protectionism and against illegal immigration, tariffs. She was essentially as close as you're going to get the European counterpart to Donald Trump. They don't want her to be able to run. Think back in the United States with the Colorado judge who ruled that Donald Trump couldn't have his name on the ballot and the whole idea of the convicted felon. They were going after him in every way. That's what we're seeing here. And it's happening in Europe, by the way, at a time when German Chancellor just won and the climate state of Germany with literally by making fun of the climate agenda, by making fun of the German Green New Deal. And he won easily. The conservatives won. The EU halted the Green New Deal. So this is all tied in with all of this sort of MAGA movement that's spreading through Europe. They're seeing the success the United States has. And what are they doing? The exact same thing the establishment, their one go-to is disqualify the candidate, not let him run for president. That's what's happening immediately with France. The judges have decided that Marine Le Pen, the number one MAGA-type opposition leader, cannot run, cannot legally be on the ballot in France at the moment.
Mark, one thing that's so striking about this is the boldness of these evil people. Anybody with two eyes and two ears can see what's happening here. It's so obvious, just like it was so obvious here in the United States of America. I'm not even pointing fingers at France, and yet they don't stop. They can't stop.
Well, here's the thing that's so fascinating is they have and have traditionally held all the organs of power, meaning the legislative, the judicial. There's always been opposition, smaller parties, particularly in Europe, is the case. So they're just used to this. They're used to calling in favors. They're used to getting the prosecutors to file absurd charges. They're used to getting the judges to rule their way. Their kids went to school with the other, with the judges' kids. They're all from the same ruling class party, particularly more embedded in France than it ever was in the United States. And so it's just, it's amazing. This is the 1-2 thing they go through. They can't defeat you at the ballot box. They'll disqualify you at the ballot box. And Americans don't need to know anything about French politics. All they need to know is this is exactly what they tried to do to Donald Trump, what they're trying to do to Bolsonaro in Brazil. And by the way, in France, they have a long history. Previous, I think there's like three examples in the last 10 or 15 years of conservative prime ministers, you know, at least right of center in France, who have been similarly disqualified from running. So it's old hat there. You know, they don't like your politics. They can't stop you a traditional way, or they can't buy you off or co-opt you. Then they're going to disqualify you.
Mark, I was actually dwelling on all this today because I was thinking about you, what you were talking about with Bolsonaro and Trump and now Marine Le Pen in France. And I was thinking to myself, it's the year 2025. Do I believe that we're going to get to the year 2100, not that I'll be alive, but do I believe that we're going to get to the year 2100 without things getting really, really violent and spicy in one of the Western civilization countries? I think that would be naive to believe such a thing. When they're moving with such boldness and such evil now, it's hard to see this ending anything but terribly for someone.
I think you're absolutely right. It's because the old guard, the essentially the World Economic Forum, United Nations, the globalists aren't going to go down without a fight. Look what just happened in Canada. They elected Mark Carney, who was the former Central Bank of Canada, the Central Bank of England, the former head of all these big banks, World Economic Forum. No one voted for them. Trudeau stepped down, brought him in, and now there's going to be an election at some point, the Canadian parliamentary system. But they have now leaders who aren't World Economic Forum sort of puppets. Someone like Mark Carney in Canada is the puppet master. He's the one pulling the strings for the globalists. So the more they pull these kind of stunts, and we saw in England where you had the UK Prime Minister Starmer, his party got less votes than the opposition, the Conservatives, but somehow the parliamentary system, he is now in charge and he's going full bore on this globalist agenda. So there's going to be a massive fissure coming globally in these Western nations, and we will see where this ends up. I hope there's no violence, but at some point, the more they crush the will of the people, the more likely you are to get that kind of violence that we're fearing here.
Mark, tell me about the EPA Museum.
This was, you know, I follow the EPA. I've talked to people who were considered for the job of EPA administrator. No one even knew this place existed. It only existed for 9 months, right in Washington, D.C., right in the EPA headquarters in the bottom of the museum. $315 per day visitors to this museum. And this was a museum set up $600,000 annually to operate, $4 million in taxpayer funds to build, to basically glorify the EPA, talking about environmental justice, talking about climate change. It's like even among this their fan base, they couldn't even get EPA employees to go because they hardly had anyone visiting the museum in this small amount of history. Now, thank God, EPA leader Zeldin, who has been amazing, by the way, especially considering he was never big on climate and the environment before this, he's really stepped into this role, has come in 31 actions directly aimed at the Biden and Obama climate legacies that they've done at the EPA. But this whole EPA museum is now officially shut down. They're having fun with it. They're making fun of it. They're completely just demolishing it. I'd love to go in. This is almost like pieces of the Berlin Wall. Go get a piece as a memento for past totalitarianism of regulatory policy. But thank God for Trump's EPA. They're shut this nonsense down, this EPA museum that even EPA environmental nuts who love the EPA under Biden and Obama didn't even attend. No one attended. It was literally an empty museum paying security guards, paying the electricity for all these lights that for no one to walk through.
Mark, tell me about Lee Zeldin and what else he's got going on at the EPA. I like Lee. I've always thought he's pretty sharp.
Lee Zeldin has absolutely been amazing at this job. And what he's done is on everything from water, air, climate, deregulation, the EV mandates, he's literally come in and just refocused the entire agency. And the enchilada, the big enchilada, the holy grail, is they're going after the CO2 endangerment finding, which, by the way, Trump 1.0 had no interest in going after. Neither EPA director would bring it up. It was seen as too big of a task. Lee Zeldin has come in. Just so people know, this is using the 1990 Clean Air Act to say that carbon dioxide is a pollutant under the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act was never intended for that. And by the way, we inhale oxygen as humans. We exhale carbon dioxide. They've now under, again, Obama and now Biden, and then Biden, to regulate human breath as a pollutant, because we exhale CO2, carbon dioxide, from our breath. 2 or 3 pounds per person. If you're exercising, it's 8 pounds. Peer-reviewed studies are showing that this is a, that people's breath actually can be warming agents, and Africans have less warming agents than Asians, and women have more warming agents in their breath than women. There's actually been studies, and men, there's actually been studies on that. But it's just that insanity. If they can get rid of this endangerment finding that says carbon dioxide is a pollutant, then you can get rid of the basis for everything we've seen, from EV mandates to to meat restrictions, going after methane, to going after all of the energy, solar, wind mandates, the appliances. This is how you make Donald Trump 2.0 permanent. That and going after the UN Paris Agreement by submitting it for a treaty to the Senate, having it rejected. The whole goal is the next Democrat president, or God forbid, a president, Nikki Haley or someone like that, can't come in and get us all back in the UN and can't get us all back in to climate regulations. They're trying to make permanent changes. And that is where we need to salute Donald Trump 2.0, salute Lee Zeldin, and salute the EPA with just the initial 31 actions that they've come out with here on everything, that reversing the Biden-Obama legacies.
President Nikki Haley. Ugh, don't speak that evil on this show, Mark. Okay. All right. Tell me, when am I going to start seeing it in my wallet, Mark? I mean, I'm talking about the changes at the EPA. Is my power bill going to go down? When are these things coming?
That's a great question. You know, there's a contrary force at play here. It's, you could argue, and I think Donald Trump would, that in order to make a beautiful omelet, you've got to break a lot of eggs. So right now, even energy prices are beholden, because gas prices haven't changed much, and even energy prices overall haven't, to Donald Trump's tariff war. He's trying to reset the global trade. So just, was it this morning or late yesterday, he's talking about 25% tariffs on Russian energy, going after different companies with all the economic, because of this economic sort of disruption and trying to make the beautiful omelet. I don't think we're going to see a lot of prices going down. At some point, Donald Trump, maybe in a month, maybe in 3 months, is going to settle down with a more stable economic policy, I think. And then I think we'll see prices coming, because all the indicators should be there. Everything he's done has opened up the futures market for energy, investment, the deregulatory landscape, which he's done, and getting rid of all the even gas-powered car bans. So it's all set to start booming, and therefore the futures market, which is what sets the energy prices, essentially how they feel about the prices in the future, things are going to come down. But we have other economic factors, and I do think the tariff war, until he gets that stabilized, is going to interfere with just consumer prices and inflation overall. And in fact, we might see prices go up in the short term until Donald Trump settles this. And he's having great success with a lot of different countries, Colombia, battling Europe, Canada. And again, this is not like, oh, we're going to be stuck with tariffs or 25%. But what he's doing is he's resetting the entire trading agreements that we have, which is something that no president has even attempted. So yes, it's going to take a little longer than I think most experts predicted. But I'm hoping within 3 to 6 months, you'll start seeing it, the energy policies come through, even overwhelming whatever is going on with tariffs.
Mark, Elon Musk and Doge have talked about following the climate breadcrumbs. Now, this is something you've talked about extensively, how this is all a big money scam. So much of this is just a gigantic money scam to make people rich. So obviously, they're going to find all kinds of corruption. Who are going to be the worst actors if we follow this little rainbow to the end?
Well, I think the worst actors are always going to be the ones put in place closest to the presidencies. In other words, the John Podestas, the Stacey Abrams. If you go back to Obama's original follow the breadcrumbs of his green stimulus, which was only like $80 billion back in 2009. Imagine that. That's like peanuts today. Joe Biden's essential green stimulus with the Inflation Reduction Act is almost $2 trillion. You're going to find, just like we did, and Washington Post reported on this back in 2011, that 75% or so of the money went to Obama donors, to Obama campaign officials, to Obama connected businesses. And the same thing is what we're finding with all of the Biden stuff, with all of this Doge stuff. And not only is, and that's from the green stuff, but beyond the green stuff, you're looking at essentially the ruling class establishment, USAID, all this money just being pumped into all of the nonsense from DEI, critical race theory, transgender ideology, globally. This was just a cash cow for every academic, wacky left-wing theory that they could get money for. And there was no scrutiny, no limits. And that's why this could go on forever. I hope that Elon Musk really pays a lot of attention to the Pentagon budget as well, because that's never passed an audit. So I really want him to move on to that at some point. But it's been an amazing thing to watch, uncovering what we all knew intuitively was there, but no other administration's ever even attempted, let alone successfully exposed, all of this graft and corruption.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. Mark, my brother, thank you, as always. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
We're going to talk to Kirk Cameron about some entertainment things in a moment. Before we talk to Kirk, I'll talk to you about how you sleep. You really, really need to sleep well. And look, for people who don't sleep well, I get how that sounds. Well, it's easy for you to say. Well, it is easy for me to say, because I have dream powder from Beam. It's not like I'm a magician where I can just snap my fingers and sleep well anytime I want, but when I really, really need a good night's sleep, maybe I've had too much caffeine, maybe the stresses of life, whatever it may be, I have a cup of hot chocolate before bed. That's what dream powder is. I warm up a little cup of milk in the nuker, in the microwave, pull it out, mix in some dream powder. Only dream powder, on top of being delicious, it has natural things in it, things like melatonin. And you will drink it, you'll enjoy it, and then you'll drift off to sleep. But the best part is when you wake up, because you don't wake up groggy and heavy like you always do with everything else. With dream powder, you wake up feeling good. Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly, and that's where you pick some up. We'll be back. Culture matters, obviously. We talk culture war things all the time on the show, and one thing that the right used to be dismissive of, I'm glad we're coming around on this, is the culture of movies and music. The arts, if we want to call them that, although that sounds a little fruity, the arts are really, really important. It's not just actors and actresses. It's how people are guided. It's how people learn values in a society. It's always been that way. If your movies are putrid, wretched trash, then it matters. If your books are, if your music is. And look, a lot of hay has been made about the new Snow White movie that bombed at the box office, but the American people rejected it because finally we're sensing that something is rotten and wrong and we don't want to consume it anymore, and it inspires me. Joining me now, Kirk Cameron, one of the really wonderful people in that industry, actor, filmmaker, author, his new Brave book series, I would highly recommend it. Kirk, look, it's not that I celebrate people flaming out and failing, but I love when horrible things are rejected by our culture now, because for a long time they were not.
Yeah, rabid dogs need to die. I'm with you. Yeah. I love little dogs, but when they're running around terrorizing people, when they're endangering people, we don't want them hurting our children. And so whether it's Disney's Snow White with its woke ideologies and actors who are promoting aberrant ideas, or whether it's music and other forms of storytelling, like you said, we as parents want to know that we can trust the people that we're putting our kids in front of. So I think that it's high time that we put a great deal of importance on the arts, on music, on TV, on movies, on poetry, on sculpture, on everything, because you're exactly right, Jesse. We learn most by the everyday talk occurring in the stories that we're listening to or that we're watching. And, you know, I believe we're in a story right now. It's called history. It's his story. And when we tell our children bedtime stories, when we sing them lullabies at night, when we tell them stories of lessons we've learned from our own past, we're actually framing the next generation of human beings. And it's extremely important.
Kirk, it's not that I think Hollywood was ever, you know, the beacon of light or anything like that, but I'm not 85, I'm 43. And when I was a kid, my folks used to have their friends, cousins come over. And when we finally came in at night, when it got dark and we had to come in, we would turn on they'd turn on the television for us. I think it was ABC.
Yeah.
And it was Full House and Family Matters. And the commercials weren't ED pills and things like that. And that's not ancient history. That's just a little while ago. How did it change so fast?
Well, I think the seeds were planted long ago. And those seeds have been germinating like a seed in your garden does underground. It looks like nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, something pops up and the weed begins to grow. And it gets huge quickly. I think that's what happens with values that we plant in the hearts and minds of people when they're little kids in school and the stories we tell them in preschool, the books that we read them, the songs and the lullabies that we sing. And I think what we're seeing now is the rapid growth as we've moved away from the values that really promote liberty and freedom and good virtue and character. And now we're beginning to see the rotten fruit that you spoke of earlier. And it's really sour to parents and they're turning away from it. So I don't think it happens all of a sudden. I think it does happen over time, but we see it all of a sudden when our eyes are opened up and it sends us back to those good principles. Like, we got to plant good seeds in the hearts and minds of our children. And that's why I'm leaning so much into writing children's books and a children's television show. And you're exactly right. When I was a kid, I watched the same shows that you did. And now as an adult, I can tell you that I have thousands of people who come to me and say, when I was a kid, they say, I watched Growing Pains and Full House and these kinds of shows because those are the families that I wanted to be a part of. They loved each other. They cared. There was a moral lesson that I thought about and helped me to sleep at night. And I felt like the world could be a good place, not just a scary place. And I think that's the promise we need to give to our kids, and we need to make good on that promise.
I agree. And I love what you're doing. In fact, I want to talk about that now. Here's a trailer for Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Here it is.
Let's just start from the top.
The top of what?
Hello, brave explorers. Welcome to my treehouse.
Finally, a quality children's TV show that reinforces wholesome values.
Thanks for teaching me about honesty today.
You told the truth when it wasn't easy.
Through a biblical lens.
God designs every part of us, from each hair on our head.
Or scales.
Yes, that means that God didn't make a mistake with me.
He made a work of art with you. I'd say a true, one-of-a-kind masterpiece.
While having fun.
You got this, Iggs?
Get covered! Woo! Hey, Iggy. I'll race ya.
Go!
Yeah!
May the Lord bless you.
Kirk, where'd you come up with this idea? Because honestly, I swear it's about as close as a jerk like me could get to getting misty. It reminds me of my days when that was Sesame Street, right? That was Mr. Rogers. That way, of course, you can't watch that now. You'll learn how to be gay. Where'd you come up with this idea?
All right. Well, you know, Mr. Rogers was a show that we used to watch back in the day, and there was just something special about him. You know, you can make fun of Mr. Rogers, but you know, Tom Hanks made a whole documentary and that whole movie because there's something timeless about a television show for children that helps you say the things you want to say to your own kids or your own grandkids. And it says it in such kind and gracious ways and honest ways, authentic ways. Fred Rogers had a way of doing that. And we want to bring that back for our kids today and our grandkids. Jesse, believe it or not, I'm a grandfather. My 6-month-old granddaughter is playing in the lawn on a blanket right outside my house right now. I can see her through the window. And I want her to have time together with her family and grandma and grandpa to watch shows that are really going to not only entertain her, but actually impart virtue. And the idea for this really came from writing children's books with Brave Books, this company with pro-God, pro-America values in all of their books, and wanting a creative way to bring those stories to life and realizing kids spend more time in front of screens than they do reading books, we shifted to investing in 2 seasons of today's version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood meets Sesame Street. It's faith-filled, it's wholesome fun, engaging kids' imagination for good.
Gosh, I'm so glad you did. Kirk, I need you to understand something. I don't do technology, and I know a lot of people watching don't do technology, so in the dumbest possible terms, how do I watch it?
Easy. If you have a smart TV, download the app. It's called Brave Plus. That's it. Download the app Brave Plus on your phone or on your TV, and you can watch the first 3 episodes for free. And if you want to watch more, you can just subscribe. There's also 50 other shows that also meet the same quality standards, i.e. they're not overstimulating for your kids, making them crazier and making their ADD worse. They're developmentally healthy, and they teach clear moral lessons like you want. These are shows like Strawberry Shortcake, Bob the Builder, all these shows that we used to watch as kids, plus new shows, including my new show, Iggy and Mr. Kirk.
Gosh, my sister used to love Strawberry Shortcake. She always tried to make me play with her little stupid Strawberry Shortcake dolls. I freaking hated it. But that was back at a time when things were wholesome. Kirk, I appreciate you very much and what you do. I can't, man, you made me feel old. Kirk Cameron's a freaking grandfather. Gosh, where did the time go? Kirk, congrats on that, though. Congrats to you.
Thanks, bro. And I so appreciate you. Thank you for what you're doing. It's important, and you make it so much fun. Keep it up.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And nothing lightens my mood more than watching Democrats continue to put the worst things on camera for campaign ads. Here was Chris Coons.
Look, your average Trump voter laughs at us and says he's owning the libs. Mm-hmm. And your average middle American says, why are you wasting your time worrying about Greenland? I can't even find it on a map.
Ah, yes. Middle America loves that. You're too stupid to own a globe. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.